Oh, you. It's time once again to pour one out for the Pouring Old Man. My name is Russell. This is episode 29 of the Pouring Old Man podcast. Joining me on the ever-revolving second chair, as it is at the moment, he's cooking MCs like a pound of bacon. It's Anthony Pitt.
Oh, bacon.
bacon.
How are you, mate?
Oh, I'm pretty good, actually.
That's good.
So how you been, mate?
It's been weird missing out on an episode and not being in here.
Yeah, it got sent to the judiciary, given a week off for a high shot on Warren after the show. I'm not saying Warren didn't deserve it, but you know.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I'm still actually a naughty boy and haven't listened to the episode, so I've got to do that to find out what beers you had without me.
We might have brought that up on the show, actually, so if you get to about 45 minutes into it, there's a special message for you.
Fair enough.
We got to a certain point that realised we had to be bagging you out at all, so we had to take time out of drinking beers. Anyway, that's giving away too much.
Yeah, well, considering how much we give Warren for missing out. So.
We'll hear about what you think of that probably episode 30.
Cool.
if it hasn't gone down well and you're not here, then we'll explain a few things.
Well, exactly right. Yeah, who knows what's going to happen. So,
who are we? We are the Pouring Old Man, just a couple of old timers sitting on the back porch talking about the beers we love. We release fresh episodes out into the wild every Tuesday morning on all your usual podcast providers, the likes of Google Spotify, iTunes, Castbox. There's one I remembered. Yep. I can't remember the others.
No,
did I miss one there?
But I heard Spotify is now very close to overtaking iTunes as the number one podcast platform.
Yeah. I can't remember what the stats are, who listens on what more, but
it's about 50-50 on each, which is good.
Yep.
So we appeal to all types.
Exactly. We're across the demographic.
Yeah.
We are the Pouring Old Man. We should release episodes on phonograph. And release it on old-fashioned vinyl so people can listen to us.
Vinyl, some A-tracks.
Yeah, the ones you have to like crank yourself and
yep.
I'd sound amazing on 75 RPM, I imagine. you can also catch us on social media on Facebook at Pouring Old Man, Instagram at Pouring Old Man. Anthony, you can find him at Pouring Old Pity, Warren, Pouring Old Wazza, and myself, Pouring Old Russ.
We're really inventive with the names.
Yeah, I know.
What about my name?
What about yours? You appear on Pouring Old.
And Pouring Old Harrison is too young for social media at this point, but you know.
Yes.
I know what social media is.
Yeah, you know what Instagram is? Yes. So your advice appears on mine.
Because pretty much what
you can launch a competitor to Ryan's world called Harry's World.
YouTube.
Welcome to Harry's World. And then Pity and Mrs. Pity can make $20 million a year off you.
Sound good?
Yeah.
Yep.
I do look at some of those like the toy reviews and they get like 5.5 million views. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, what are we doing wrong?
Exactly. We chose the wrong topic for a podcast. Yep. We need to go into kids' toys. All right. So, what have you been drinking?
Well, yeah, I should go first. And I haven't been here for a little bit. Surprisingly, there's not as much as I thought there was going to be.
Yep.
But I'll start off with. Let's just start at the top. I had a Soapbox, their gold kiwi and mango sour.
Ooh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it was a bit different. I guess I'm not quite certain what kiwi is supposed to add to it.
Yeah.
As far as the flavour. It was just a mango, mellow mango sour.
Yeah, so kiwi fruit is kind of that zestiness is kind of that. And if the base flavour of the beer is too strong, you're going to lose the kiwi fruit. So.
So it just softened everything, and I don't know what gold kiwi is versus...
There's not much difference.
Gold kiwi!
One's a bit more yellow than the other one,
and
it doesn't have fur. It's got like a shaved kiwi fruit, basically.
Brazilian kiwi? I'm glad you laughed at that, buddy, because you don't know what it is.
It's one of the great things about being dad, when you make sort of, you know, inappropriate jokes that kids don't realise they're inappropriate. There's going to be a point in probably about 7 years' time, my oldest daughter's going to be sitting there at home, and she realised all these jokes I've said. Oh my God, Dad!
Okay, back to the beers. You've had this one as well, the Deeds Peanut Butter Imperial Stout.
Yes, yep.
Whew, boozy to start with.
Very boozy.
I found once it, not quite to room temperature, but just below, everything mellowed out, and it became like a really balanced, really enjoyable beer where suddenly went from sipping to, I'm going to have bigger gulps of beers.
I thought it was a bit too boozy for its own good. Like the chocolate and the peanut butter there, you know, I really like that. But yeah, the booziness kind of sort of dominated the other flavors just a bit too much. Like,
yeah, see, I found once the temperature warmed up, it didn't taste as boozy.
It didn't last that long, so.
Yeah, I think because I was enjoying a nice quiet evening.
Yeah.
I mean, the missus had gone out and Harrison was asleep, so I thought I'm going to slowly sip away on this
one. That was my intention as well, to slowly sip away, but it just disappeared. I must have a hole in the bottom of my glass I don't know about. It was nice, but I compare it to like Bad Shepherd's peanut butter. That's probably still the gold standard. I do need to try that. There's one I haven't added to the collection.
Yes.
That is the Belching Beaver peanut butter stout.
It gets rave reviews.
Yeah, and I think my beer dealer have it, so I need to pick
jump
some
on that
of that.
One.
Yeah, next time there. Because that'll pretty much be all the peanut butter ones I've ticked off, I think. So.
Excellent. One of the other ones I tried was the Revel and Willie the Boatman collab beer, their Nipah. It will now be probably top three Nipahs that I've had.
Mm.
It and the Helios Dionysus.
Yep.
I think I like the Helios one better. I just like the sort of honey toasted sort of flavor in the Helios.
We did bring this one up on the show last week.
Yes.
We did have an issue with Revel and Willie and the Boatman and that release.
Yeah.
It was time to coincide with the Aussie Beer Pods Revel podcast going up against us.
Yeah.
And they released the new beer. They released two new episodes. And we probably got beaten quite comfortably. But yeah, that was our issue with it. Is it's the time. They've got to wait until a week, you know?
Yeah, go up against... done it against
Brews News
or
you know,
like that,
Drinks Adventure, not a craft beer podcast. Or one of the... someone else.
Yes, one of the big industry players, not the outside.
But yeah, I want to try and track that one down as well. So.
No, it was good. I did thoroughly enjoy it. And it is, jump straight to sort of the top as far as...
Nice.
Nipahs go. Something a little bit different. I had the Pirate Life Orange and Mango Sour.
Yes, how was that?
It was actually really nice.
Okay.
Mango just tastes like orange and mango juice.
Mm.
Not boozy at all. Had a really orangey colour to the beer as well.
Really?
So instead of being that sort of yellow that you normally get, it was a real
They're such a mixed bag at the moment, Pirate Life. Like I've probably gone off the deep end with some of theirs, with the Green Ants and the Tea and Bicky, so I've probably picked up the wrong ones for them.
This one was a good beer. It's a big can, and being a big can, I think it was actually 500 mils, and it was like $8 or something.
Yep.
So it hit a lot of things for me. So I enjoyed it. It wasn't boozy. I don't think it was boozy, so it was probably like 8.5% or something, but I annihilated it.
Mystery.
So yeah. My absolute cracker of the week was the Mountain Culture of Mr. Banks collab. Now probably two of my
Was that the what's that one called?
Where Dreams Go to
Yeah.
So of all breweries in Australia, they're two of my absolute favourites.
Yep.
So it cost a small fortune to
purchase,
but well and truly worth it. So it was a double dry hop hazy IPA.
Yep.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah. No, I've seen them around. I'm interested in getting that. I just
need
to set aside some capital
before
I get that one.
Thankfully, old mate at Annalie had some there. I'm like, I'll buy it. I may have bought six beers just so I could get the 20% discount, just so I felt like I was able to afford it.
I had the issue the other day at the bottle shop. I brought a four pack and I brought a single can, and the single can cost more than the four pack.
I've had that a couple of times. Now, one other one I wanted to mention, and I haven't had this for ages.
Mm.
And Bolter XPA.
Yes.
I'd forgotten how good that beer
is. It really is. Like,
it was just smashing.
I hate seeing people online, it's not as good as it used to be. Bullshit. Yeah, it's exactly the same.
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
I got a four pack, took one sip and went, oh my God, yes, I remember.
Yeah.
You are
it's,
great.
It's, it really is a good beer to go back to and have another one. And it's so, like, you get like two for $25 or something like that. It's cheap. It's great fridge filler. Yeah. It's,
yep.
It's
and you can get them so many places now. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that one.
Well, I reminisce of the days when it was first getting popular and I had to hunt down at Harry Brown's. If I'm lucky, they might have had some, but they always sold out. It was ridiculous.
I remember driving to the Gold Coast just to pick one up.
Yeah, so, yeah.
from the brewery.
Whereas now we just take it for granted.
But what have you been drinking?
Cool. Well, you don't have a part two there for us? Then?
No. I did trim it down and I sort of eliminated the bad stuff.
Cool. All right. So what I had from Filter Brewing, I had Marrickville Knights Dark Ale, complete with sort of like neon signage on the front and dark can. It's kind of a cool can. It's different from what Filter normally do. It was not the beer I thought it was going to be. Like, okay. I was thinking like dark ale would be one of those little wintry darker lagers and malty sort of thing, and it wasn't quite there. It wasn't as dark as what I thought. It's more of a brown ale colour, like sort of deep red kind of colour.
All right.
Had a bit of a cherry sort of flavour coming through. Yep. It was a bit sweeter than I thought it was going to be, but like it was really nice, really refreshing, and very sessionable sort of like darker lager. But yeah, it's just different from what I thought it was going to be. So,
and I do Filter are another one of those breweries that they don't pretend to do anything. They don't do anything complicated. Yep. It's just bang, here's a beer.
Yep.
And here's a good beer.
Yeah, they're Filter. I think XBA. That's a banger as well. So, yeah. Another one I had from Bad Shepherd was their Double Choc Hazelnut Brown. There's very much there's some darker themes going with my beers this week. You'll probably pick up on this, but yeah, that was good. Chocolatey hazelnut, it was smooth, it was similar sort of texture to the spilt milk we had from Working Title the other week. Quite sort of effervescent with the bubbles and quite smooth. It wasn't a heavy chocolatey beer. That was quite nice. Another one I had, or should I say, the other one I had was one. I was going to bring it to the show, but I just couldn't be able to. I just didn't want to share it, basically.
Fair enough. Yep. No, that happens. I get that.
Yeah. Garage Project, Surrender to the Void, Volume 3. This is their Maple Pecan Affogato Gelato.
Yeah.
Super intense. Like, much like the Volume 2 with the Boysenberry Vanilla Cheesecake. Yep. Super intense. You're not missing the flavors. It's hitting you around the face with the flavors. The predominant flavor with it, surprisingly, was actually the coffee. The coffee was the strongest flavor. And then the maple came through almost like to take the edge off the bitterness. So it wasn't a... Normally, maple in a beer, it's the dominant flavor and it stands out as really sweet. But this is just a touch of
it's
maple.
It's through the bitterness. Yeah,
and the pecan was... Oh, there's a nuttiness there. It wasn't there. It couldn't taste any lactose. But it was really nice. It wasn't as good as the Boysenberry Cheesecake one.
Okay.
But still a really nice, super intense and indulgent sort of beer. But... Yeah. And, nice. Well, that was mine for the week.
Awesome.
Cool. So, cracking some beers.
Let's have a beer.
All right, time now for show and tell. This is where each of us bring a beer to the table and share it amongst the class and tell you our thoughts. And this week, Pity, what have you brought to us?
I have gone something very different. So, first time ever for Soapbox Beer appearing on the show.
Absolutely.
So, they're in Fortitude Valley in Brisbane.
Almost an unsung hero at the moment. They've got. I used to always get them sort of mixed up with Sea Legs, the kind of each side of the river sort of thing. And but Soapbox have kind of drifted away from the conversation a bit.
Yeah, they're very quiet. They're sort of the understated ones.
But then they do some really interesting stuff. Like you'll say what this is in a minute, but I know they do an Iced Vovo beer. They do a carrot cake beer. And what's this one?
This one is Talking Sass, which is a sarsaparilla porter. Now, I saw sarsaparilla and didn't need to read anything else.
So you're a sarsaparilla fan then?
I absolutely love sarsaparilla.
Root beer, have you had the root beer as well? Do you like?
Not so much. Sarsaparilla is just, growing up, it was just one of those ones where a good old-fashioned sarsaparilla is suffering. Even the sarsaparilla cordial.
Yep.
Loved it.
Yeah, definitely smells like wine though.
I'm just picking up the porter. I'm not picking up the sarsaparilla at this point. Like
I get a little bit of the when you open sarsaparilla cordial, and it's just that the syrup of the cordial, and it smells different to the soft drink. But
what does it taste like?
It tastes like porter.
I don't know about that. That's
conflicting.
Yeah, there's a real upfront bitterness in it. Just nothing but the bitterness. So
Yeah.
And I'm trying to unpack it as is that supposed to be the sarsaparilla, and it's not quite working for me. I will continue to investigate though, because you know I like to be thorough.
Yeah, it's weird because sarsaparilla has a very defined taste, and it is a you either like it or don't like it.
Yeah. So I love root beer sarsaparilla. I'm okay with. I've grown to like it more and more. It's not come across as being sarsaparilla. It's not.
No.
It's almost, is it like a black, not even like black licorice kind of flavour. It's
based around the root of the sarsaparilla vine, this alcoholic root beer is bold, dark and loud from go to woe. Standard notes of dark chocolate and licorice ensure a strong finish and a sweet, earthy aftertaste. They will tell you, tongue in cheek, don't put me down, I make you look good. Interesting hops. I've never heard of these ones. I've heard of Simcoe, but then it's Fuggles and Willamette.
Fuggles is used... I might have cut it out of the podcast because it sounded silly. Fuggles, I called Muggles the other week. But yeah, Fuggles is used by little creatures in their dark bears. It's used for...
the Fuggle is real?
The Fuggle is real. That's, yeah, that's exactly right.
I assume that must be what that one is. But I haven't ever heard of Willamette.
No. That must be the older one.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to say root beer because, again, I like my root beer and this doesn't come across as a root beer taste.
So it uses sarsaparilla root and licorice root in the ingredients. Maybe it's one that as it warms it may...
Well, so the leading flavour is just that real like bitterness and it's
that roasted, really roasted, almost burnt coffee.
Yeah, it's gone past being roasted and it just burnt. Like it's like a burnt stick.
Yeah.
And it's a really harsh flavour and it's kind of disrupting the rest of the flavours coming through. And
I am starting to get a little sort of that almost licorice sweetness.
Mm.
Yeah, so I'm definitely getting that earthiness afterwards. Like it's just...
Got a bit deeper in the glass and just had another sniff on it and the licorice is starting to pop through a little bit, which...
Either it's the palate adjusting or the flavour's mellowing, but it does seem to be changing a little bit.
It's coming on, like the upfront bitterness is kind of mellowed down a bit and you're getting a little bit of that licoriceness and that rooty root beer. I say like that medicine flavour, but in a good way, that medicine flavour, the root beer, it's there a little bit, but it's
star anise... I think it's star anise flavour that starts to come through.
I'm still not finding it enjoyable. It's
no, which is so disappointing. I wanted to love this beer. I wanted it to be
something different. And it's like, hey, this could be something. This could be a real standout beer that people copy. But I'm not feeling it.
No, I wanted all sarsaparilla flavour and that to be all you got sort of thing. So just an alcoholic sarsaparilla, really. Yeah.
There is, I found it a few years ago, there's a alcoholic root beer called Future Memoirs of Root Beer. That was fantastic. And that literally was this alcoholic root beer. That was really nice.
Mm.
But it tastes nothing like this. I'd rather drink that than this.
Yeah. Disappointed.
Yeah. Score-wise?
At the moment, it's a fight between a 2 and a 1.
Yeah. Well, I'll start the fight. I'll give it a 1.
I'm giving it a 2 on the premise that it's going to get better as we sip. And I'm hoping just before we can go into beers that we want to try and then it's going to get better as it warms up.
Yeah.
Which is basically I'm giving it an extra point on the potential that it might get better.
It's a sympathy point from your teacher. You know, he shows great potential. Mm. He just needs to concentrate.
And it's because I love sarsaparilla so much that's where I'm going with it. So,
has potential, must try harder.
Yeah. Pretty much. I really want it to succeed.
Yeah, no. Nah. Oh, don't like it. No, move on.
Yeah.
All right, next up for show and tell, I've brought a beer to the table. And there's a bit of a theme for this one. I've done a bit of a feature for today with the travel bubble opening up to go to New Zealand. So, I thought I'd do up a little feature of where to go New Zealand craft beer. But before we get there... Let's have a beer.
Sounds good.
And there's also another reason why I brought this one here. So this is from Chur Brewing Company. This is Thanks Pecan Pie. That's their Thanksgiving Imperial Stout. Now, I'll get the bad news out of the way first.
Yeah, I saw this.
Chur have announced they no longer bring their beers into Australia. for the time being.
Yeah.
Basically, they released their beers under the name Chur in Australia because of a trademark clash, and Behemoth elsewhere in the world. And with the shipping being held up with COVID, they end up with the wrong label beers in the wrong countries, and they can't sell it, or it goes, they can't get it to Australia fresh enough. So, so I thought this an opportunity here to, you know,
say thanks.
Cause they do some wild stuff, and it doesn't always pay off, but when it does, my God, it works.
Hopefully we see them still at some of those festivals and stuff.
I recently had the After Dinnerment Stout, and that was amazing. Like, absolutely amazing. That's one I'd pick up again. And again, big Lebowski reference. I love my big Lebowski. They had the Dude Abides, which is the White Russian Imperial Stout. So.
Their fruited sours are always punch in your face, sort of. They're so fruity. Not super sour, but they're tart enough that you know that they're sour. They're just, it's always good beer, and you always get, I always find you get each of the flavors, like everything.
And there is another reason I got this, but I'll get onto that later when I start my tour of New Zealand.
Yes. So are we focusing North Island, South Island?
Just North Island. I couldn't fit in the South Island to a short space of time. And
so we may have to do that later
on. We might have to do it later, and like, driving distance is a bit harder to get from place to place in the South Island, so...
And I'm guessing with this too, you may be on your trip to New Zealand visiting.
Yeah, it's kind of a dream tour. Like, I want to go to New Zealand soon, but I'm probably going to take my two oldest kids with me. So I'm probably not going to go to as many breweries as what I like.
Ditch them on the grandparents.
Yeah, so if I come back reporting on, you know, 25 different McDonald's restaurants in the North Island, you know it's all gone tits up for me. So this is, it's 9.7%, 440 ml can, as they always do the big cans there. So over in the States, it is time to give thanks. So this was actually brewed in November, so it's probably pushing the expiry date a bit. It's been rough going for our American friends and family, and Thanksgiving is a time of year that everyone can get together and give thanks for what they are grateful for. This is often done with candy corn, Google it. Despite what some people may say about its roots, it was originally about giving thanks to Native Americans who helped the pilgrims survive their first winter there. So here, have a traditional Thanksgiving dessert, pecan pie. There. All right. We'll have our aroma expert give us his view.
Smells sweet, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much like
chocolate. Yeah, there's some lollies going on in this, isn't there?
Yeah, they're like... Yeah. Lolly, chocolate, and coffee.
It's almost like a maple kind of...
There is that.
There's a like nutty coffee. Maple kind of flavor it's going on
like
there.
It's a lot like coffee.
There is some coffee there.
There is a bit of coffee.
And it's toffee, like real sweet toffee.
Yeah, definitely desserty kind of stuff.
Yeah. Thanks, expert.
There's some sweetness there.
Yeah. Sweetness, there's some booze.
It's probably, it probably needs to have the booze coming through, otherwise the sweetness will be too much and the booze kind of pulls its reins back in.
Wow.
And that's that's intense. Yeah. It was funny because I said before I had the garage project with the pecans in. The pecans were very faint. Like, it was kind of overwhelmed by all the other flavors. There was the pecan is forefront.
This,
it's like,
this is definitely
it's like they popped out of the garage project, stole all the pecans and put it in their beer instead.
No, this is...
It's a kind of a sipping beer sort of...
Yeah.
Mm.
I guess some of the flavors going on could give that, like the pie crust... A sense of that pie crust as well. There's a
It's got
a little bit of that.
Got that biscuity, pastry kind of. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Get a little bit of that.
I have a bit of a hint towards all the ingredients in it, but obviously there's pecan and pie, but.
Yeah, pecans definitely.
But it's definitely all that sweet caramel, toffee, maple, just something like that that's it's really standing out.
Yeah, you've. Done the pecans and then cooked a caramel and basically mixed the pecans into a caramel.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. I could imagine, picturing this as a food, there'd be just sticky pecans.
Yeah, because you've got the big caramel base with the pecans on top. Yeah. And
Yep. It does represent the food really, really well as far as flavors go.
It's, yep.
And then just has that boozy kick to it just to break everything up. There's no very little bitterness to it.
No, no, there's no bitterness. It's like the booze acts as the bitterness.
Yeah, just sort of finish, like the finishing flavour. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm not one that, I never think a beer should be boozy just for the sake of it being boozy, but this one needs to be boozy because if the alcohol wasn't there, I wouldn't like it as much as what I do. So
no, it'd be far too sweet. Yeah, it'd be sweet with no break.
Yeah.
Which, you can do sweet with no break if you're digging into like a thick chocolate mud cake or something like that. Because you expect it to be sweet on sweet on sweet. Yeah. But beer needs to have something else.
It's a damn shame these guys aren't coming and sending their beers to Australia for now. Who owns the Behemoth trademark in Australia, you bastards?
Yeah.
it's not the old the Hungry Jack's Burger King thing. Someone's got the Burger King license in Australia or the trademark, and not, so Hungry Jack's is called that. So I was going to the point they're never going to change it now anyway. No. But
surely at one point, if you're a decent businessman, you go, how would you like to buy the Burger King name off me? Like, seriously. Buddy, you've missed out because no one else knows who the hell you are in Australia. No, so
that's exactly right.
It's probably...
If you're going to have the trademark, use it.
Yeah.
Or sell it.
That's it. It's probably some outback burger joint who's called himself the Burger King. And, have some business sense.
Yeah, but yeah, no, I really like that. It's just, familiar enough as a stout. It's got the stout characteristics, but then it's something really different with the pecan and the sweetness. And yeah, that's...
It's still clear enough that it's a beer.
Mm.
I think sometimes with some of these sort of dessert-based stouts, they get lost that it still should always be a beer first.
Yep.
This one still does that.
Yep. Score wise, I get a very solid 4. It's not quite a 5. I don't think. I don't think it's quite refined enough to get to so get there. Close. It is close, but I just.
I think it almost needs a thicker pastry, like if it was that pastry. A pastry stout, would be easily a 5, where it's just had that little bit of thickness to it.
It's one of the ones that's probably too good to be just a 4, but it's more than just a 4, but it's just not quite a 5. But definitely highly recommended. If
4.9,
something like that.
No, it's really enjoyable, and after the first beer, at least this delivers on exactly what it.
Yeah.
It says it's going.
See, the stout base in this, if you can get the sarsaparilla flavour into a stout base like this, it would probably work a lot better. But
I would have loved the first one to work, but
that's right. Did you end up giving a score?
Yeah, I'll give it a 4 as well.
Give it a 4 as well?
Yeah, because you're right. It's so close to being a 5, but it just misses one tiny little thing.
Yep. Now, I did say I was going to have a bit of feature. There's another reason why I chose this beer.
Yep.
And I'll get to that very soon. But yeah, so with the opening of the Trans-Tasman Travel Bubble, I thought it was a great chance to hop out of the ditch and go on a craft beer tour of New Zealand. There's some cracking breweries over there that we know fairly well, like the Garage Project, Deep Creek, and Jer Brewing.
Yep.
But there are a host of interesting breweries throughout New Zealand that I think will be worth checking out on a bit of a road trip.
Don't go to Liberty.
I actually got them on the list.
Oh, no.
Well, actually, the one that also in Auckland, so I think, because they are highly regarded and highly rated, so I think we just got one that just didn't work for us.
Maybe
so.
At the brewery, we've just got the dregs over here.
Yeah. As I said before, I haven't done South Island just because... I didn't have time to ride, basically.
Yep.
And the places in South Island, a bit further apart, is not really conducive to a road trip.
That South Island, you go for the landscape, the Lord of the Rings aspect.
I did, though, want to mention one brewery in the South Island, just because their marketing is so on point. It is amazing. It's a place in Dunedin called New Corporation. And they've stylized their entire branding and their beers... it's like a Japanese postmodern cyberpunk style.
That's pretty cool.
And the whole theming and the messaging, the way they talk, is keeping, they stick to the theme and they run with it the whole way. It is amazing.
Yeah. You might as well, if you're going to embrace something like that, just go full hog.
It's all the, you know, the 80s science fiction imagery, but then it's also got, like, you know, the waving Chinese cat. They use that logo a lot as well. And, like, even, like, you know, on their homepage, they... got a big thing welcoming to their site is, you know, synonymous with the history of global brewing, new corporation returns to define an era of consumer innocence in easy good times, re-establishing its fermented beverages division in Dunedin, New Zealand.
Nice.
So, and they just lead it. I absolutely love it, but I just couldn't, you know, connect that with the rest of the country. I will put the disclaimer. I haven't been to most of these brewers, haven't tried most of these beers. These ones have grabbed my attention, and probably very Rust-centric beers as well, admittedly. So. So the inspiration for this came from Behemoth/Chur Brewing.
Yes.
Because if you pay $200 for a ticket, they will pick you up from the airport in Auckland. So that's where we start our trips to New Zealand.
I love that idea.
It's fantastic marketing. Like,
I could, without sounding too harsh, I couldn't think of anything better than ditching the wife and the kids going,
there you go.
You go see everyone else, I got the bus.
Exactly. So you're $200, you book now for our exclusive experience, including an airport pickup and taking straight to Chirley's Bears on Arrival, complete Behemoth Brewing Tour, and last but not least, nose to tail meal from our butchery-focused kitchen. What a way to enjoy that bubble. Yeah.
It sort of screams just, do me.
Yeah. And that's why I thought, man, that's amazing.
Picks you up.
Yeah.
Beer, an exceptional beer.
Yeah, and a meat-focused menu as well.
When they add butcher as the title,
I thought that was brilliant. So while you're in Auckland, other places, I wanted some beers that caught my eye there.
Yep.
Mainly these ones are based on the name, admittedly.
Okay, yep.
So you got Juice Willis, Hazy IPA.
Yep.
You got, I think this is brilliant again. The beer is called Visit Our Brew Pub Hazy IPA.
Cool.
I think that's on tap only. they got Behemoth Honey and Passion Fruit Ale. They got a Brave Bikey Brown Ale as well. Or Brave Bicky? Brave Bikey, I don't know. Cool. So while you're in Auckland, there's a couple other places I thought would be good to check out. There's a place called Halatau Brewery. They've got three locations through Auckland. A bit more of your craft beer wanker kind of joint, but high class. The food looks exceptional, you know, fancy and expensive, but and that is just classic styles. Like, they've got a Kolsch, a Berliner Weiss, you can get the Berliner Weiss and add a shot of schnapps as well.
Okay, so they're going a little bit more upmarket, embracing a little
bit of that. But it looked nice, and all your beers are not named up with numbers, so it's like number one pale ale, number two IPA, number three. It's a bit weird, but
keeping it simple,
One just north of Auckland, called Sawmill Brewing, they've been around for a while. They serve a range of high quality natural beers free from sugar, preservatives, and colour. So that's something a little bit different as well. So
if you're looking after yourself, a bit health conscious.
Exactly, and a bit more out of the cities, a bit more rural. So a nice sort of countryside sort of feeling.
A day experience.
Yep. And one is a bit of a drive out of Auckland, but it's 2 hours north of Auckland in a place called Waipu, which.
Get
the giggles out of the way from the name. But
would it, if they had done what was the other one? Shooter's White? That would have fitted.
But the brewery's called McLeod's, and the branding is very much like, almost looks like Penfolds with red, white, and a white. But the beers that caught my attention there, so they've got a Far North Chili Pilsner with Kaitaia Fire, which is New Zealand version of Tabasco sauce. They got that. The whole range of what they call Smuggler's Bay collection of limited run barrel aged beers and stuff. So that looks amazing as well.
This brewery is screaming Russ.
Yeah. And then they've got another series called the 802 series. Again, sounds very wine, vineyard sort of thing. Which is a whole series of unfiltered IPAs. They have a hazy and a clear, and they change hops every month, and they just do the same thing over there. So, and they look really good.
That's a great selling point where you can go, I'll go this month. Well, I should go next month just to try the different beer.
And the other thing I know, again, this is why I hate Queensland liquor laws, is that most of these beers as well are available in supermarkets.
Let's not get started on that one. That's an entire episode.
Where are the stockers on that one? Oh, New World. Ah, bastards. So, leaving Auckland, it's a good thing to do. You head out on the south to Waikato. The best thing about Waikato is the highways. It's 4 lanes the whole way between Auckland and South Hamilton, which is unusual for New Zealand. It's about the only time you get it outside of the big city centres.
Okay, because I've actually never been to the North Island. I've only done South.
It's 4-lane highway. They're just about to do a bypass around Hamilton, which is great because drive through Hamilton's a pain in the ass. So
Can I do the thing? Why would you stop in Hamilton anyway?
Well, exactly. Well, I'm about to give you an idea.
Okay, there you go.
Good reason to stop in Hamilton, though. It's a place called Good George Brewing. As I said, Hamilton's a bitch to drive through, but make sure you stop at Good George Brewing. They're renowned for squealer-sized 946ml beer bottles. They were selling them at Dan Murphy's for a while there.
Wow.
But I haven't seen them for a bit. So you go there on Thursday, you get $25 for a burger and a pint as well. So Oof. There you go, planning a trip around that.
So they're the only reason to stop in Hamilton?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, cool. There goes our Hamilton listener.
driving through Hamilton, it takes forever. It's so long. But yeah, there's a bypass opening in November, so that's good time to go. Sweet.
Through on a Thursday.
They got the beers that caught my eye. So Raglan Roast Coffee IPA. That sounded good. Passion Fruit Hazy IPA. A Raspberry Brut IPA. I didn't notice Brut IPA are still a thing in New Zealand. I've noticed.
Interesting,
kicking around. And they do a range of ciders. And the cider I picked out was Manuka Honey and Ginger Cider, which sounded really nice. If you want to bypass Hamilton completely, 15 minutes east of Hamilton, there's a place called Matangi. It's a very small, remote brewery. They've got really nice looking pizzas there. And a couple of beers I noticed there was the Appalachian Sweet Bourbon Stout.
Ooh.
And then they've got one called Flat Earth Pale Ale. I'll put that in there, of course. You know where I'm going with this. It's a 5.7% Session Pale Ale. 5.7% Session? Come on, people.
Get all those flat earthers.
Well, yeah, and they...
Actually, that could be it. If they believe in flat earths, they believe 5.7%.
They'll believe that's a session beer. Right, quickly heading out of Hamilton. A brief stop through Rotorua. This one's not that exciting, but Rotorua is an awesome place to visit anyway. So
Rotorua is the one with the...
The bubbly mud and the... Yep. You get
sulfur.
Yep. And it smells like rotten eggs.
Yes.
You get used to it eventually. It's like when you fart in the shower, basically. After a while, you don't notice it.
It's only everyone else. There's a way to distract you.
So brewery there called Croucher Brewing. They've got their own pub called Brew Pub.
Cool.
It's been ages on the name. There's nothing too exciting about the beers. They've got normal Pilsen's parallels, but yeah, Rotorua is an awesome place. And I can't remember the name. There's an awesome takeaway shop like it does Chinese food. You pay like $20 for like 4 things of Chinese and it feeds you for 3 days.
Nice, yep.
All right, so leaving there, if you go to West Coast, Taranaki. Now, this is a bit of a sleeper of a craft beer spot, actually, I've found. They started popping up in the New Zealand Hottest 100 Gabs this year. Yep. And there's a few that stuck out. So all around New Plymouth, which is on the west coast, Shining Light Brewery, they had a few up in the top 100. So they kind of came from
that,
They came from nowhere, and they're up in all amongst the top 100. Some of their beers, so there's a Manuka Honey Brown Ale.
It's sacrilegious if they don't do a Manuka Honey.
There are a few Manuka Honey ones on this list, I admit. Number 9 in the Hottest 100 was their Skunk Juice Hazy IPA. And they've got a range of brewing devices called Free Radical. And one of they've got a mango one, there's a boysenberry one. So they look really good as well. Just down the road from them is a place called the Theoretical Brewer. It's just south of New Plymouth. The guy behind it has a chemical engineering degree and started brewing when he was given a homebrew kit for a birthday present.
Awesome.
And so he uses chemical background to start making beer.
I was hoping there'd be some science-y attachment
to it. Yeah, yeah. And he's won multiple brewing awards at New Zealand Beer Awards. The one statement, oddly enough, chrysanthemum lager?
Yes.
There we go. It's brewed with chrysanthemum, given a floral aftertaste and kind of a different colour as well. So
interesting.
I think that got a gold medal at some New Zealand Beer Awards recently as well.
Cool.
They got a hibiscus kettle sour as well. Yep. And one they actually got bronze at the Australian AIBA Awards was their Pale Ale. It was called First Finch Pale Ale. So
interesting.
Doing some good stuff there. And one more in Taranaki. Three Sisters. I thought, I don't think they actually have a tap room, so you might just have to make some takeaways as well. But they've got some really interesting stuff. So they have one called Hot Rod, which is a Monica smoked lager.
Ooh, interesting, yeah.
They got a Hand and Flowers roasted oat stout. Again, you can tell I wrote this list. Black Forest Sour Cherry and Rye Imperial Pastry Stout. Yeah, I know, right? They got a whole range of fruited pastry sours as well. They look amazing.
That sounds fantastic.
They've got one that's called Gorgon's Neo Mexicanus Double Hazy IPA, which is it's got Medusa hops, Zappa hops, and Sapporo.
That brewery sounds really good.
Yeah. I was really surprised with the quality of beers coming out of Taranaki, honestly. It's fantastic. Now, heading to East Coast, North Island.
Okay, yep.
Yep, this is my home turf. I'll try to be brief.
Yep.
If you're driving into Hawke's Bay from either Taupo or from up north and like around Gisborne and stuff like that, first place you go past is in Esk, just outside of Napier. It's called Zalant Brewing. These guys focus on like classic European style beers. They've got like a gothic theme into their brand. They look amazing. Again, available at supermarkets. they've got a Black Monk Schwarzbier, which is a 7-time award-winning German black lager. So that sounds really good.
Yeah.
They've got a Dunkelwiesen, Two Dukes Dunkelwiesen. So again, get into the Belgian style. Yep. Another one that's been awarded is a Jerry Rig Hell's Lager. Like Munich style sort of lager beer. Yeah. So that get into that stuff.
That sounds nice, yeah.
I have to put it in there. My favourite Hawke's Bay brewery, Brave Brewing.
It wouldn't be a summary of beer in New Zealand if Brave didn't make it.
Nothing fancy, nothing complicated, just good, clean, simple beers. Yep. The one I always go on about, Tiger Milk IPA.
Yes.
Fantastic. One that is also getting some wraps as well is called Kid Dynamite IPA. I think it's more of an American style IPA, that one, okay. I believe. And they only release it once per year. They've got a really good milk stout as well. So nice. I'm hoping they release it sometime in the next month or so.
You'd have to think it'd be about this time of year that it's coming out.
Yep. The other brewery in Hawke's Bay I wanted to mention, this is really different, a very small place. This is called God's Own Brewing. It's a fully licensed brew pub in a beautiful country setting. They've got a repurposed 1973 caravan bar and safari dining tent. Enjoy our seasonal beer range and wood fire pizzas in the hop garden. So it's basically an outdoor setting in the middle of a hop farm.
I guess like some of the wineries do where they...
Absolutely. And they've done that. I don't know if they are highly religious or just playing on the religious theme. Because they talk about our congregation, and their congregation is actually just people that go there and pick hops for them and drink beer. So
nice. I'm happy to be that sort of congregation.
Exactly. That's a church I can believe in.
They also do
open air cinemas as well on Fridays, so you can watch like Disney movies in the hop farm while drinking craft beer. It looks really cool. They've got a really cool logo as well. They've got a stained glass window above the beer in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
That ticks off a lot of lists, being able to sit back and watch a Disney movie out in the open.
And it's something different, not just going to the Usain Bolt bar, it's going out into a farm and then in the open. So
yeah.
They do all their beers seasonally, so they have 4 beers in summer, 4 in spring, 4 in autumn.
We've talked about
these guys do. So two that I picked up from the winter collection. They got Silent Night Espresso Stout. They said espresso, not espresso. Whatever. And then got the Three Wise Spice Ale, which is supposed to be like a gingerbread Christmas pudding flavored ale. So which sounds pretty good as well.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to court a bit of controversy here. When you leave Hawke's Bay, you've got two options. You can either drive down the west coast through Palmerston North or through the east coast. If you go through the west coast, you go through Palmerston North, and that's a shithole. So we're losing everyone from Hamilton and Palmerston North on the show. But there is a brewery there called Brew Union, which is probably the most boring name for a brewery ever. But they do sell a golden ale.
That is your...
Is it worthwhile going to Palmerston North from that? Probably not.
Particularly if you could pick it up in the supermarket.
Yeah, I don't think they're big enough for that. Maybe, I don't know, yeah.
Yeah.
This is where the controversy comes. You go East Coast and you go through a place called Manga Tanoka.
I'm glad you pronounced that.
It's the home of Tui Brewing. Now, not craft beer.
Yep.
However, it is iconic in New Zealand. And the brewery itself is iconic. It's this 5-story tall building in the middle of a sheep's paddock. in the middle of nowhere. they actually, I had a look on the website, they've got four or five like small batch beers they do in-house for only the brewery. So,
okay, worthwhile having a look. Yeah.
Food looks really good as well, and they got awesome merchandise. So
nice. And most Australians would actually recognise Tui Brewing. So
exactly. It's an iconic New Zealand brand, again.
Pretty much, it's Tui and Stein Lager are your two New Zealand brands that everyone should know.
Yep. But yeah, it's worthwhile stopping there for lunch and stuff like that. The only downside going that side of the island is you got to go over the Rimutaka Ranges, which is a shit of a road with, like, you know, cliff on the side of the road that drops down 150 metres in a windy road. Yeah, it's not a nice road to drive on.
So do that sober.
Yes. Well, I should mention that. Don't drink and drive.
Yes, please.
Especially in New Zealand, because the roads are shit, except for in Waikato. But still don't drink and drive there.
Yeah. Wherever you are, don't drink and drive, but especially in New Zealand.
The undisputed beer capital of New Zealand, and the actual capital as well, I suppose, is Wellington. Wellington is just phenomenal, and I had to cut this short because I could have got to go on a whole episode just with this.
And I think most Australians would forget Wellington is actually the capital.
Well, yeah, most New Zealanders forget that as well. So if you go through Palmerston North, why would you? You'll go through Kapiti Coast in a place called Paraparamu. And
I'm so glad you pronounced
And this is a place that you would go, because this is Duncan's Brewery.
Ah, yeah.
So we're in pity country here. Yeah. We're in pity country here. So you've got a passion fruit and lime ripple ice cream sour. They've got strawberry and mango ripple imperial ice cream sour. Yeah. They've got a whippy IPA, which is mango, vanilla, and fruity hops as well. And it's just all that. They look amazing. Even for a non-sour milkshake drinker like myself.
Yeah, it just, you almost have to go there just to test everything. Yep.
And coming from the other side, you can go through Upper Hutt. There's quite a few in Upper Hutt, actually. I picked out Kereru Brewing, which is in Upper Hutt. And again, traditional style beers, but with a kind of a Kiwi twist. So you got a lemongrass and chili IPA. You got a Manuka Sati beer, which is a tree flavor farmhouse ale. They use the Manuka branches to flavor that. Yep. So, and then they got a Bolina Vice with Fijoa in it. So,
I think this is our argument why Australian breweries don't do more of style of thing. Yeah.
And starting to get there, but
if there is an Australian brewery that focuses on that. Do reach out. We'd love to actually try them.
I know Spitifex, I wanted to do it in Australia, but they're just super hard to get hold of in Queensland.
Our friend Richard Libre,
he does a lot of it. He's growing, but he's not quite big enough to get over here.
That's a WA special. Can't wait until he does,
though. Yeah. Embrace the Aussie flavours. It's just do it. So also in Upper Hutt as well, you also got the home of Panhead Custom Ales, which they are owned by Lion, but still do good stuff. I would go there just for their glassware. They got this awesome, I think it's an IPA glass, but it's got a gold-coloured logo for Panhead. It looks amazing.
Nice,
I would buy a glass from there. And there's a place called Bonehead Brewing as well in Upper Hutt.
Okay.
this is one place in the middle of Wellington called Te Aro. Is the home of craft beer New Zealand. I've only got about a tenth or maybe a third of all the craft breweries here. So one that stood out was called Choice Bros.
that is Kiwi. So,
they took out the first three places last year's Beervana Festival.
Wow.
Which is basically, and it was basically the same beer but three different flavors. It was so it was their Shake It Milk Chocolate Stout. They flavored with caramel for caramel chocolate. I think they did banana and a strawberry to go with Perky Nana and Pinky, which is New Zealand chocolate bars.
That's pretty impressive.
And they got first, second, and third just for those three beers. And it's the same beer with different flavour. So check them out. They're in Te Aro. Also in Te Aro, I haven't got beers for a lot of these. There's a place called Fortune Favours. There's one called Mean Doses, which the one beer that caught my attention was the whole thing is an 80s themed brand kind of thing.
Nice, yep.
And there's a double IPA called Take On Mean. There's Heyday Brewing, there's Whistling Sisters Brewing, there's Waitoa Brewing. There's other places, I don't know if you heard of them, it's called Garage Project, I think it is. they're around there as well. I've included Garage Project. Oh, actually, I forgot, in Auckland, there's also Garage Project Kingsland as well, which is a tap room and tasting bar only. You can't actually get plastered, you can only taste and take away, but
So you can do multi-garage project stops. Yeah. So you could start at Garage Project and finish at Garage Project.
Actually, no, you're better off starting at Chirley so you can do get picked up from the airport, go via Garage Project and up down there. But yeah, I haven't included much Garage Project because we know who they are.
Yeah, it's just a given if you're in New Zealand that you're going to go.
Two other shout-outs. There's a website that I found right at the end of writing this. Would have been handy when I started. called craftbeercapital.com, and that is it's got a interactive map of all the craft beer places in Wellington and the North Island.
Why is it it doesn't matter what you're researching.
It was literally the last thing I was writing, this website came and I'm like, where was that?
They need better Google search.
But it also includes all the craft beer bars and you know, all that sort of stuff. And
so it's perfect.
Yeah, and like, you just see Te Aro in Wellington, there's one suburb, it's like all the pins in the middle there. another one, if you're going over there, Beervana Festival is in mid to late August in Wellington. So worth checking out.
Good time too, because you're still going to get the snow, but it's not going to be as cold. It's going to be...
That's Wellington, it's still going to be cold.
Yeah. It's not going to be as big an edge to it. I'm trying to do the New Zealand tourism ad.
I don't want to oversell Wellington weather. It's on a nice
it's
day,
just cold.
On a nice day, it's lovely. But, you know, those days come with about three times a year. So.
Well, it was funny because that's what I was thinking about your one ad on the farm. It's the one and only day of the year that you go out.
Well, at least, you know, being in Hawke's Bay, the weather's a bit better anyway. It still can be bloody cold, but yeah. But yeah, that's my craft beer trip around New Zealand. Well, the North Island anyway.
North Island, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And we will do a South Island at some point.
Yes, yeah.
In the year.
Yeah, so there are some very good craft beer breweries in South Island, and they're very small as well. So.
Maybe we can do it around Beervana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
All right. I've been talking too much. Penny, you've been looking forward to any beers coming up?
I've got a couple of beers coming up. I think a couple of these are actually already out.
Mm-hmm.
Deeds, their Lamington Ale.
Yep.
Lamington it's Australian. Mm. It just chocolate and coconut.
Like, yeah. It works.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Mountain Culture, they've got a coconut stout coming out.
Do they?
So the fact that they've just got a dark beer coming out, yep. Utterly intrigued, so yeah. I just want to see if
the last dark beer they brought out was called Big Richard, and when people order it online, it got sent out with condoms.
Love it. I'll be intrigued to see what happens when they send it to the coconut stout. But yeah, it's more the fascination. They do amazing IPAs, oat creams, that sort of thing. So just to see if that carries across into the dark beers. Another one of my favorites, Mr. Banks. They've got Accept All Cookies, which is a chocolate and vanilla milk porter.
Ooh.
But basically it's based on choc chip cookies.
Oh, damn. Yeah, that sounds good.
Yep. So that's
it. Was that Deeds, was it?
That was Mr. Banks.
Mr. Banks. Oh,
so,
yeah.
Again, who do just continually do great beers.
Yep.
The other one I wanted to mention was East Coast Haze is now core range with Black Ops, so they've launched that and just...
It's weird, though, because they've given it its own separate can that doesn't look like it's part of the core range. So
yeah.
It's a nice-looking can, but it just doesn't fit into the rest of the core range.
Yeah, I'm not too sure what's going on there, but a lot of people have actually commented on how nice that beer is. So
yeah,
good to see it jump into the core range.
Yeah. I can't remember if I had that one or not. There's two beers similar to each other that were released at the same time.
East Coast Low.
East Coast Low, and then there was...
Yeah, there's...
The
typical Black Ops where they released half a dozen beers in a month and it's just hard to keep track. But I know a lot of people have said East Coast Haze is nice, so be good to see that core range and easily accessible.
Mm-hmm. The only ones I had, Dainton just released, it's called All Sars, Czech Pilsner, What Grab Wine Tension. I'm a bit of an avid shoe collector fan.
Yes.
And this is in cans, a style around Converse Chuck Taylors.
Nice.
Cool. There's eight different style cans. I believe it's the same beer in each of them, but
the original NBA shoe.
Yeah, yeah, and they're all style. Even like the D for Dainton's got the Chuck Taylor style look to it as well. Yeah,
awesome.
The cans look cool, basically.
Yeah.
I just want to mention by the time this episode comes out, It'll be led into Range Brewing third birthday.
Yes.
We don't know what they're brewing yet because we're a couple of weeks ahead.
Yes.
But yeah, those beers sell out within a couple of hours usually. Yeah. So good luck with it.
Yeah, it's Range Brewing. It'd be one where it's worth a trip in. And
so I look forward to not getting any of those beers.
we'll have to see if you can make a trip out there for that one. So
yeah. The only other one I want to mention, I just saw today, Backers canning some more of their sex, drugs, and Rocky Road. That's just that's just always on my list. I want more of that. So
cool. There's another day trip.
Exactly.
Actually, when this episode comes out too, it'll be the Urban Craft Beer Crawl.
Yeah, tell me more. Tell me more.
Well, this was one I actually thought was surprisingly good value. So I don't normally say that about a lot of these craft beer events because you're generally looking at them going, Jesus, guys, like, you're charging $150 for something that I then have to buy everything at the menu as well. Whereas this one, now, the good thing is this will be out, so tickets will still be available. But you can get them on Eventbrite, but it is featuring Black Ops, Revel, Black Flag, Your Mates, Heads of Noosa, and Celex.
Mm.
So six different venues and six of the better venues in Brisbane.
Yep.
Anywhere between $55 and $65 a ticket. So by the stage this episode comes out, that'll be $65 a ticket.
Yep.
but you get six tasting paddle vouchers. So basically you get one paddle per venue.
Cool.
Which is... to me, that was your money covered.
That's a lot of paddling.
Yep.
First venue, that's a paddling. Second venue, that's a paddling.
Yep. you also get three pot vouchers as well, so you can get your favourite in a pot.
Pots of beer. I thought you get pot of beer. Pot. Yeah,
it's not legal here yet.
Yeah, you can't get vouchers there yet.
and you also get a $10 lunch voucher, so basically $10 off some food, which you probably should eat when having six tasting paddles throughout the day. But you basically pick which venue you want to start at and pretty much walk around them. So I thought that was a cool one.
Mm.
They're all close together, pretty much Queen Street, that sort of area. Yeah, so if you're in the city and I think it's a great concept, so I think it'd be a fun day.
Mm.
And that's 22nd of May.
Cool. And also, Gabs is coming up soon as well. So
we're
hoping to have an appearance at Gabs, but
yes,
by appearance, I mean we're just turning up and not doing anything special. We're not that fancy yet, but
we can't afford to do something no. But we'd love it. Yeah, we want to be there, and we'd love it if people actually come up and say good day.
We will have Pouring Old Man shirts on, so
we're trying to come up with something funky for that too.
Yeah, and we might just be running around topless with Pouring Old Man written on the backs and a permanent marker.
There's a couple of us, so
there might have to couldn't be a afford few any letters. Shirts, could you? No.
Do we do it as like I have POR? IN and then like
no, because I'm the fat guy. I always only have more letters on my belly. So you have PO and Warren will have EN A-N. And I'll have Orin of N Orin of M on the
and we don't pick on the fat bloke.
No, only I do.
Yeah, I got nothing else. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm done. I talked myself to a standstill today. So
no, that was actually interesting. I did know about a lot of those breweries. So
neither did I.
Hopefully, some people who are heading over to New Zealand.
We will actually do something like that for Australia at some point, I reckon, as well. So there'll be a lot of like small regional breweries that we have known nothing about. So it'd be good to go through and see. Do a road trip for Australia as well.
I think WA and Tassie will be interesting because they probably
Tassie will be a cracker. Actually,
don't get a lot of sort of publicity. Yep. So and we might try and find some people to actually give us some advice on those too. So.
Mm, absolutely.
So anyone interstate in Australia, so basically outside
of
Queensland.
Who can give us tips in WA? I wonder.
but yeah, anyone else around the place who wants to give us some tips on some good craft breweries, reach out. We'd love to sort of do a focus.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's all I got for today.
Yep.
That's all for me. I've been Russell.
I've been Anthony.
You've been awesome. Catch you next time.